Marcy Simon. I'm Steve Scherr. It's The Record. We're going to have a discussion on Prop 1 now. So, folks, we're not going to be asking you for your money right now. But don't forget, we still need it. So while you're listening, do take the time to call. There's a vote coming up on April 22nd. If you bus or you own a car, it affects you. King County's special election will decide on Prop 1. It would put the money raised to Metro bus service and some road projects. The outcome may affect up to 70 bus routes in the county. The ballot measure would increase your yearly car tab fee to $60. It would increase the county's sales tax by 0.1% or 10 cents on a $100 purchase for 10 years. If it fails, King County Metro predicts it will have to cut service by 17%. Supporters say Prop 1 will avoid massive cuts in public transportation. It's a matter of social justice. Opponents say if Metro addresses its own waste and inefficiency, it wouldn't have to cut transit services so deeply. Dick Paler is chairman-elect of the Eastside Transportation Association. It's a pro-highway and infrastructure group. He wants voters to reject Proposition 1. Dick, thanks for being here.
You bet. Thank you, Steve.
Rob Johnson is executive director of Transportation Choices Coalition, a pro-transit group. He wants voters to pass Prop 1. Rob, thanks.
Hi, Steve.
So Metro reportedly has some of the highest operating expenses in the nation. That's what opponents to this proposition say. Let's cut there before raising taxes. Metro has already cut $130 million. They found that money after screaming they were in trouble. So how do we know there isn't more?
You know, we as a county have implemented a serious set of audit recommendations over the last several years that saved Metro $130 million a year. In addition, a task force convened in 2011 made a series of recommendations about how to improve Metro's productivity. All those recommendations were implemented. We've scraped to the bottom of the barrel, Steve, and we're at a point now where we're asking voters, do you value bus service? And if so, we hope you vote yes.
So, Dick Paler, you're against increasing taxes to pay Metro's bills. You think Metro hasn't cut enough. They say they're at the bone. You think a no vote would force more cuts. So where can they cut that won't hurt people who need buses specifically?
Well, to be honest with you, Steve, I haven't drilled down into their budget far enough. I'm a volunteer. I have another job to earn my living, and so I don't spend my time getting into that. I do think that again, just by comparison to their peer transit agencies around the country, as you've said, their expenses are high. They remain high. I appreciate the cuts that they've made in the past to get to this point, but they have to do a better job. And we also have to look at increasing the fare box recovery.
Who are you comparing them to?
The 50 top transit agencies around the country.
So who is that? You got three to tell me which they are? It must be New York, must be Chicago, L.A.?
Well, I can say this, that there's only two other agencies in the country, and I believe that it's Boston and San Jose that have higher paid driver salaries than they do at Metro.
So you're saying their high costs come from high salaries?
Well, I think that's a very big part of it, and I'm not just limiting it to drivers. I'm not trying to pick on the drivers. I think there's a lot of significant administrative salaries there too.
Like who?
Well, again, Steve, I don't have that kind of detail. I don't work at Metro. I don't have a grip on those details.
All right. But if you're wrong, 70 bus routes will be cut by June. That puts more cars on the road. We may need to expand the roads. Is that your solution?
It's the solution, cutting expenses? Is that what you're saying?
No, if you're wrong and they do cut 70 bus routes.
I would not call that a solution at all. I would call that unfortunate if that's what happens. And I don't believe for one second that that's, in fact, what will happen if this fails. Because I know that Metro doesn't want to cut the routes. I think that they've probably exaggerated what they need to cut. And I think that they'll go back and look at bringing their fare box recovery in line with their peers. They're well below what that is. They're not even average in the top 50 in the country, and they're in the top 10. If you're in the top 10, you should be better than average.
In top 10 in terms of their
of
the people they
recovery.
Serve?
Oh, fare box recovery.
Their average.
The National Transit Database compares, does on all kinds of ways, they compare the top 50 agencies in the country. Metro has, for many years, been in the top 10, which is a good thing. But when it comes to fare box recovery, they're not even average in that group.
Why doesn't Metro get more money from their fares in order to offset this cost? And how much would they have to go up to get more money?
Thanks for letting me chime in on that one, Steve. You know, we're getting a little bit into the weeds, right, about the ways that Metro operates its service, but I will tell you
this. I think we're getting into the weeds when we're asking people to pay more money anyways.
That's fair. I'll say this. What Dick is talking about is the amount of money that riders pay to contribute to the overall cost of operating the system.
Right.
When Dick mentions the top 50 transit providers in the country, the majority of those are rail providers. They're organizations. It's Metro in D.C. It's the New York City Subway. Those transit agencies are collecting a higher amount of their operating revenue from fares, and it has to do with the way that they operate. It's a lot more cost effective to operate a major rail line than it is to operate a bus service line. But I take issue with the point because really, we're not that far off. The national average is 34%. Metro's at 29%. We're making a lot of strides towards making this more efficient. And moreover, riders are paying a lot more than they were a couple of years ago. We are at the end of next year, the fares will have doubled over the last 7 years for riders. So we've asked riders to pick up more than their fair share.
All right, let me ask this way: the proposition provides a $1.25 low income fare, and the idea is we're going to provide some offset to the people who are going to be hurt by this regressive tax. But that's also going to be an additional charge to car drivers, too. If low fares are important to keep cars off the road, why not keep them low for everyone and find another way to finance Metro income?
Well, I think we have to have a real conversation as a region about what our priorities are. And if we care about finding ways for people who want to get to that first rung of the economic ladder to give them opportunity to find good, well-paying jobs, then we need to provide a really excellent transit service to make that happen. One of the reasons I'm excited about this measure is the low-income fare that you talk about, as well as the rebate for folks who are low-income car owners. Those two things are really important because we've talked a lot about wage inequality as a region, and it's that wage inequality gap is growing. So we need to do more to give people who can't afford to live in King County options to get them around.
Except you're going to hear people saying you're making it hard for me because I'm having to pay more for my car tab as well. So you got this double-edged sword, as you say. Let me ask Dick Paylor, double-edged sword. Ballot measure provides 40% of the tax revenue to local roads. Your organization advocates for this. Both your organization and the Bellevue Chamber of Commerce, they argue that this local authority that was set up to do this would undermine a statewide package. It sounds like you've set up a catch-22. Do you want to see the state increase transit funding, or you just want to see less money for transit and more for roads?
Well, right now, transit gets about over 60% of all of the transportation revenue in the Puget Sound region, and yet they carry 4.4% of the trips that are taken every day. Roads are getting the short end of the regional funding, have been for a long time, and that you go back to when Metro was formed, it was the opposite. Roads got over 60% of it, and transit got maybe a third of it. And with the addition of Sound Transit and the several tax increases for Metro over the last years, this would be the fourth tax increase in 8 years for Metro if this passes.
And not enough money going to roads, you're
exactly
arguing.
Exactly right. But we support a statewide package, and we think that—
A statewide package that puts more money to roads than to transit.
Well, absolutely. And it's not the state's responsibility to be paying for local transit anyway.
Well, that's why I mean it's a catch-22. I mean, we have now this local transit package, which would pay local dollars into transit.
Right, but this—
Isn't that what you want? Local dollars into local transit?
Absolutely. But I think that the back to the point about the farebox recovery, that you know, right now the passengers pay maybe a quarter of the.
So what is the fare now? 3.25?
So the base fare, if you're a rider in one zone, which is basically the city of Seattle,
how much?
It's 275.
275, and it's going to go up to 3, right?
Right.
So what do you think it should be? 6.
No, I don't think it should be 6. I think it should be. We should solve this problem by asking the riders to pay more. And by the way, Robin, I agree on the low end.
The riders to pay more, and
riders should pay more, and they have to look for ways to get their expenses in line.
Without,
they have a goal
without cutting their service.
They have a goal in their own plan to keep their expenses at the rate of inflation or lower, and they're not doing that.
Steve, we got 180 organizations supporting this thing. They got 8 people. This is a broadly supported thing throughout the community, and we're strongly.
Well, we will leave it there.
Hope April people vote yes.
April 22nd. You had to get that in. You hope people vote no, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
April 22nd is Prop 1. Rob Johnson, Dick Paler, thank you.
You bet.
Thanks.